Oil takes a fall.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We haven't said much about oil prices lately because, well, they've barely moved from $72 or $73, but today they dropped almost 2% to below $70 a barrel. The main reason, U.S. and Iraqi officials say al-Qaeda's leader in Iraq has been eliminated. Oil exports there have been the constant target of al-Qaeda sabotage. Rob Lachlan is an oil trader in London.
It brings more oil to the market, which will undoubtedly bring prices down. Not saying this is going to be the end of it, because obviously al-Qaeda will try and replace, but I think this is very much a fatal blow.
Iraqi oil exports are still below pre-war levels, but the country optimistically predicts doubling output within 4 years. The U.S., of course, wants to wean itself off Middle Eastern oil. The latest proposal in Washington is called 25 by 25. Calls for the U.S. to get a quarter of its energy from renewable sources by 2025. But getting this through Congress is another matter. Here's Sam Eaton.
It's one of those rare occasions in Washington, an energy resolution with bipartisan support as well as a seal of approval from environmental groups, the farm lobby, and the big three automakers. Sound like a sure thing? Don't count on it. Timothy Profeta heads the Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy at Duke University. He says lawmakers have other things on their minds.
In an election year like this, the parties aren't nearly as oriented towards making the hard compromises that they have to produce energy legislation as they're more oriented taking the issues into a public forum and using it to try and defeat their opponents.
That means the 25 by 25 legislation and the host of other bills circulating Capitol Hill will likely do just that. Circulate. That is until the next Congress is sworn in. Profeta says unlike many other campaign issues, the energy problem isn't going away anytime soon. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
I don't know if it's gas prices or what, but Americans are stashing more money on credit cards these days. A new report from the Federal Reserve says borrowing jumped almost 6% in April. Marketplace's Tess Vigeland has more.
It was the biggest uptick in borrowing in 10 months and followed a measly 0.8% gain in March. We put more money on our credit cards and took out more car loans. Total consumer credit now stands at a record $2.17 trillion, not including mortgages. Mark Zandi of Economy.com says the Federal Reserve may be partly responsible for the numbers in its own survey.
The pickup in credit card debt may reflect the fact that people are turning back to their cards after many years of not using those cards. They've been borrowing by taking out equity from their homes. And now with rates up, people may be, in fact, turning back to their cards.
That may change when figures for May come out next month. Economists expect high gas prices to start eating into what we spend on other things. Surveys have shown a decline in consumer confidence as Americans pay more and more for energy. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
For the continuing story on Wall Street, I'd like to turn to Mr. Bruce Springsteen. The major indexes each fell 0.5% yesterday. The Dow slid 71 points to end at 10,930. The NASDAQ was off by 11. The S&P 500 down 7. Foreign markets are still tumbling. The Nikkei fell another 3% today. This is Marketplace. The people who produce microchips can't make them fast enough to keep up with demand. A trade group predicts another boom in sales this year. But as Jeff Tyler explains, profits are another story.
These days, semiconductors run more than just your personal computer. The microchips are now used in cell phones, digital music players, and even cars.
I don't think people realize how many microprocessors that a car consumes, and the fact that that's going up dramatically as well. There are actually hundreds of microprocessors now consumed by each individual automobile.
That's tech industry analyst Rob Enderle. Even though demand is up, he says the makers of microprocessors have been forced to cut prices.
Because there's so much competition here, prices continue to be reduced over time at a fairly aggressive pace.
Good thing the Semiconductor Industry Association forecasts 10% growth for microchips this year. Enderle says companies will need to sell more products to compensate for shrinking profit margins. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. With just a few words this week, Fed Chief Ben Bernanke rattled investors around the world. He said the Fed will remain vigilant on inflation. The way the markets have reacted, you'd think he predicted an invasion from Mars. But Bernanke's been sending mixed messages so far. And therein lies the problem, says our economics correspondent Chris Farrell.
I think Bernanke has had a problem communicating clearly. He's new. He's being tested. And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have the credibility for the markets to react calmly to what he says. So what it looks like Bernanke has decided to do, he's going to establish his credibility against inflation, and that means hiking the benchmark interest rate.
Well, let's take a step back here. Why are the markets so obsessed with the course of inflation anyway?
Inflation is your most important economic number for the financial markets because it affects your savings. It affects interest rates, rates of investment, the value of the dollar. And it really has big implications as inflation takes off. It increases uncertainty. You don't know what the value of things are going to be in the future. So this is an economic reality that affects all our savings and investment decisions.
Well, there have been quite a few signs of inflation lately, but you're not really in the inflation worrying camp, are you?
No, I'm not. And there's a couple of reasons. You know, one, Bernanke was talking about the core rate of inflation. This is the rate of inflation that the Fed really looks at. The core rate of inflation is you take your consumer price index and you strip out energy and food because they're very volatile. And you're trying to figure out what's really happening to the overall price level. Core rate of inflation is running at 2.1%. The comfort zone for the Fed, and this is, you know, typically what they say, is 1 to 2%. So it's 0.1% above the comfort zone. That doesn't sound like a runaway to me. More important, the Fed is going to do what it has to do to fight inflation, to prevent a cumulative increase in inflation. I think what we're going to start worrying about more is not inflation taking off, but the economic expansion weakening.
So could we be looking at several interest rate hikes this year?
I think we could. And I really worry about a dangerous dynamic emerging where the markets are saying, well, you're not quite credible enough. And then the Fed goes, okay, well, we have to hike our benchmark interest rate in order to increase our credibility. And then the market's really a little bit unsure. Nevertheless, I think it's a very safe forecast. June 29th, that benchmark interest rate goes up. And yes, I think you're right. We could see some more rate hike increases going forward after that.
All right, a very clear, tough stance from you, Chris. Thanks.
But they're never going to let me be Fed chairman.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace economics correspondent, though, in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
I'm sure you've heard of a prenup, but...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.